Prepare to dive into the forefront of healthcare innovation at our 14th annual meeting coming up on April 8th through 11th at the Hyatt Regency in Chicago, with thousands of industry leaders converging over four dynamic days of discussions on crucial topics from health IT to executive leadership. It's where the future of healthcare takes shape. We can't wait to connect with you in person and engage in these important conversations.
This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by brilliant journalist Lexi Kaiser, Becker's Healthcare. She joins us regularly to talk about what stories she's watching closely currently, and I'm always thrilled to get to visit with her. Lexi, why don't you take it away? Tell us, what are a couple of the stories that you're watching closely currently?
Sure. Thanks again for having me, Scott. So today I just wanted to brief you on a couple of trends we're watching here on our CEO desk. Some different shifts that we're seeing in the landscape regarding succession planning and sort of the trajectory of CEOs' careers. So one thing that we've been seeing is more lateral moves within larger organizations. So, you know, when a CEO assumes their role, they're sort of at the top of the corporate ladder. There's not much room to go up above a CEO other than maybe a founder. But what we're seeing is that larger health systems with a lot of hospitals, a lot of ambulatory branches or innovation centers, different arms like that, are moving their CEOs of individual hospitals and regions and just sort of shuffling them around more frequently. In an industry that's so riddled with burnout right now, and that really needs a lot of innovation and quick thinking, these systems are seeing that by moving CEOs around, they're able to get them to work different muscles and keep them engaged and generate new ideas for the organization as a whole.
And let's talk about that for a moment. How important is for people in their jobs and the roles, and CEOs are just a microcosm of that, to make some changes periodically? It could be within the same company, it could be a different role, it could be a new company. It could be just exercising different muscles, as you say. How important is that to stay engaged and excited versus all this burnout you see from people that do the same thing for 20, 30 years straight? Can you talk about that for a second, Lexi, and hear your thoughts there?
Absolutely. I think it's vital. And I was speaking with Donna Padilla, who's I've spoken about her insights here before on the podcast. She's an executive partner and healthcare market leader at Whitkeeper and has lots of experience in CEO recruitment. And, you know, when you're sitting in the same seat for 20, 30, sometimes even 40 years for different CEOs, you know, they have a hard time looking outside of that suite and seeing what is really going on the front lines or in other places in the organization. And things can change so much from one region to another region, from, you know, one level in the corporate space, so maybe the C-suite down to middle management, down to the front lines. And just rounding or even having forums isn't always enough to be able to change your mind and generate those new ideas. Sometimes it really takes being in a space and, you know, having those experiences hands-on for yourself. So especially when we have something that's a new venture, like a new ambulatory services venture. I know that's a really common launch pad right now for health systems, or an innovation type center or incubator. They'll take a CEO who's been in their position for a really long time and just say, hey, go lead this, and then come back and see what fresh eyes and fresh thoughts you can bring to your previous longstanding role.
I think your point, though, on actually being in the role versus abstract learning, sometimes can be so helpful, especially if you really engage in it, that you just get a whole different feel for it. It engulfs you in a different way than if you're abstractly learning about something, unless you're one of these people that's so brilliant that can learn that way, but most of us can't. We actually have to be engaged to do so, don't we?
Right.
No, I think that's right. I know when I give advice to my children, they never take it. They always have to do it themselves. And rather than be viewing that as a negative, I had to view that as just reality, because people just sometimes learn more when they get engulfed further into something.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that especially in this age where we're seeing so much CEO turnover, there is a little bit of hesitancy towards shuffling people around too much. We have seen the odd case here and there where CEOs are planting really firm roots and extending their tenures in order to carry out more thorough 10-year strategic plans. But in my conversations with Donna, she mentioned that, you know, it can sometimes be better to uproot part of an organization just a little bit because the trade-off would be so positive. So, you know, if a team isn't totally gelling or there's some conflict in the C-suite or really the organization just needs a fresh pair of eyes, it can be better to take somebody up out of that seat, shuffle things around and bring them back rather than just being so focused on consistency that you get bogged down.
Thank you. No, I think that's exactly right. And it's energizing for people. It's stressful, but energizing. You can't do it all the time, but I think there's so much to be said for it. So thank you. Lexi, what else are you following currently?
Sure. So one more thing that we're looking at is succession planning in the C-suite. I know that we've discussed this before. And recently we've seen certain hospital leaders really drawing out their departures. So we also are seeing, you know, abrupt exits. But those who are retiring rather than leaving for a different role or an emergent situation are really taking their time with that retirement. They're expanding it to a year, sometimes longer in terms of the handoff time, and choosing their successor from inside the system. And that's, you know, allowing them to collaborate, exchange ideas, and make it a much more seamless transition than that longstanding leader does leave.
Thank you very much. I think that's so interesting. We had Lou Shapiro talk last week with us, who was the CEO of Hospital Professional Surgery for 18 years, of which the last 15, they ranked the number one musculoskeletal college or health system in the country, if not the world. And he talked a lot about exactly those issues of transitioning, helping get the right successor in place and working with that. And at what point do you sort of move, you know, really move out of the role so the person really takes over and really runs? And how important it is to pick the right successor as well, of course.
Right, certainly. We've seen that also at Torrance Memorial Hospital in California. They had their successor identified for about 3 years. And he joined the system as an executive vice president. About 9 months later, became president and then became CEO several months after that. So, you know, the intention was there the whole time that he was brought on, that he would eventually step into that top role. But by being able to, again, like we talked about earlier, have different positions in the organization, since he was an external hire, he got to know it on a much more intimate level. And that created the kind of trust in the C-suite and with the front lines that, you know, when he took the reins, they said they felt like they had left nothing to chance.
No, fascinating. Thank you. And as always, Lexi, I want to thank you for joining us on the Becker's Healthcare podcast. I want to ask you one more question. So we have our annual meeting next week for Becker's Healthcare. And so for the keynotes that are speaking, I'm going to ask you to pick the one that you'd be most interested in hearing speak. So it's, you have to answer in the form of a question like we're playing Jeopardy. So you've got these four. You've got Michael Strahan, Bill Belichick, and I will test your sports knowledge in a moment too if you'd like, Martha Stewart, which dates me because she was very, very important in a big, big brand when I was sort of not closer to your age, but somewhere in between, and then President George Bush. So of those four, which would you be the most interested in listening to speak, if any?
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to be on site at the conference on Monday, and I'm really excited to hear President Bush speak. I am going to expose my youth a little bit here, but I was in first grade when he was president and, sent him a letter, and he actually responded to my letter, or at least one of his assistants did. And so I still remember very clearly having the letterhead and that big, thick envelope with his photo inside and being so excited. So it'll be a very full circle moment for me at the conference.
Well, that is so cool. With a little luck, did you still have that picture or envelope by any chance?
I'm sure that my mom does have it at her house. So I could message her and see.
If she does, we'll try and figure out how to get that signed while you're here, or have you meet him to do so. We'll try and do it. Lexi, thank you so much for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.